one another. We talked a couple of weeks ago about honoring mothers and parents, fathers and mothers, but mothers specifically for Mother's Day. But they're certainly not the only people that ought to be honored. The Bible teaches us to honor one another. There's a certain way as Christians in the family of God that we are supposed to treat each other. We're supposed to have a certain level of respect and kindness toward one another, but more than just the common courtesies that we would give to a total stranger. And yet, sadly, sometimes we treat total strangers out in the world better than we treat one another. And that shouldn't be. We're God's family, and we should be honoring one another. We should have a closer relationship and be more loving and treat each other with a greater deal of courtesy and kindness than we would treat someone out in the world. But I know the old military saying that familiarity breeds contempt. Because of that, they say the officers aren't supposed to be involved fraternizing with the enlisted men. Because if you get too familiar with them, then they'll not respect you. I'm not sure if I buy that or not. Jesus didn't buy it. He came down here and fraternized with us even though He was God. And so I know He didn't believe that familiarity bred contempt. I think He, on the other hand, thought that by becoming close to us and sharing our type of life as a human being, that He would garner even more respect from us. But be that as it may, as His servants and as God's children, sometimes our familiarity with each other, our being close with each other, causes us to disrespect one another. And I don't mean just that, you know, we joke and pick at each other in a fun way. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we actually get to the point where we do disrespect and dishonor each other. We feel free to talk to someone about one another. We talk about another behind their back. Or we say unkind things, saying, well, we're Christians, so we can say those things to each other. There's no reason to use that as an excuse to mistreat or abuse someone verbally or emotionally or in any other way. James 4:11, James says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And he goes on to say, God's the only judge. We're supposed to be doers of the law. Instead of judging one another, speaking evil of one another, condemning one another, we don't do that. That's dishonoring to the other person. And it's also dishonoring to God when we disrespect and dishonor one of His children. And we sometimes don't think of it that way, but we need to realize when we mistreat each other, Jesus said, as you have done unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. And so when we mistreat or dishonor one another, we're actually dishonoring Jesus and not living as we should. John 13:35, Jesus says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Love causes us to honor. It causes us to esteem the other person highly. When we love someone, we will sacrifice our selfish desires for their desires. We will do things for people we love that we would never do for a total stranger or for someone we didn't like. I've changed a fair many babies' dirty diapers because I love them, because they're my babies. But I don't go about just wanting to change other people's dirty baby diapers. I just don't, because I don't love them like I love mine. Now, some people, I guess, do. Some people have a job keeping little ones and changing all those diapers of all those little ones. I reckon, I don't know, maybe they just love changing dirty diapers, or maybe they're doing it for the money. I don't know which, but I don't go around wanting to change other people's baby diapers. It was hard for me to want to change my own. I had to sacrifice that because it's not pleasant. But I had to sacrifice my selfishness to want to do that. But we will do things to honor someone else if we love them. And Jesus tells us the way people will know that we're His is that we love one another. So we're going to put aside our selfishness sometimes to do things for one another. Romans 12:10 is our verse for the week. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And we're going to look at that verse and look at the implications of that verse in our lives and how it should change the way that we live. John Greenleaf Whittier wrote the poem entitled In School Days about the way that love honors another person. Still sits the schoolhouse by the road, a ragged beggar sleeping. Around it still the sumacs grow, and blackberry vines are creeping. Within, the master's desk is seen, deep scarred by raps official. The warping floor, the battered seats, the jackknife's carved initial. The charcoal frescoes on its wall, its door's worn sill, betraying the feet that, creeping slow to school, went storming out to playing. Long years ago, a winter sun shone over it at setting, lit up its western window panes and low eaves' icy fretting. It touched the tangled golden curls and brown eyes full of grieving of one who still her steps delayed when all the school were leaving. For near it stood the little boy, her childish favor singled, his cap pulled low upon a face where pride and shame were mingled, pushing with restless feet the snow to right and left he lingered, as restlessly her tiny hands the blue-checked apron fingered. He saw her lift her eyes, he felt the soft hands light caressing, and heard the trembling of her voice as if a fault confessing. I'm sorry that I spelt the word. I hate to go above you, because the brown-eyed lower fell, because you see I love you. Still memory to a gray-haired man, that sweet child face is showing. Dear girl, the grasses on her grave have 40 years been growing. He lives to learn in life's hard school. How few who pass above him lament their triumph and his loss like her, because they love him. Now, it is rare in life for us to find someone who cares enough about us that they don't want to triumph over us. It's rare to find someone who's willing to humble themselves and want to put themselves below us, isn't it? There aren't a lot of people like that. Even in families, even in marriages, even amongst brothers and sisters, that attitude is sorely lacking many times. And I think that's part of the reason that we struggle with it in the church. We've brought those same things that we had out there in the world into the church. And we've forgotten that as Christians, we've got to change our attitudes. We can't be like the world. It's not about I win and you lose and I've got to beat you at all costs. In the church, we're on the same team. If you win, I win. And if you lose, I lose. And we've got to realize that and have that better attitude toward one another, to want each other to win, that we win together, that we help each other to get to heaven. Instead of thinking, well, I'll push you off the ladder so I can get to heaven faster, that doesn't work. Not in the Christian life. We want to notice, first of all, what honor is. Honor is a valuing. It's a price paid or received for something. You know, in our world, people value all sorts of things. Some people value things that I see absolutely no value in. And I'm sure that I value some things that others would see absolutely no value in. We all have different things that we value. As Christians, however, we need to value one another. We talked in class this morning about the fact that in God's eyes, one human soul is more valuable than everything in the world. And yet sometimes, we're unwilling to make the slightest sacrifice for one another. We won't give up anything for that other person's soul. And yet we need to. Paul showed this level when he talked about the fact that if eating meat caused his brother to commit a sin, then he would never eat meat again. And I have a feeling that Paul, a lot like me, he liked his meat. But he knew that if it was going to cause someone to lose their soul, it would be a sacrifice he would make. He would never eat it again if it would cause that person the difference between heaven and hell. We need to realize how much influence and impact we can have on one another with our valuing them. And the price we have to pay sometimes is self-sacrifice. But what we'll find is self-sacrifice can be an enjoyable thing when we see the benefits that it brings. Honor is supplying a need on some occasions. Acts 28 and verse 10 says, "Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary." Now, Paul here talking about how they had crashed the ship, wrecked on the island. Some translations call it Melita, some call it Malta, but on that island they had crashed, and in the process of that crash they had lost everything. And so they stayed there on the island a little while, and then when it was time for them to go, the people honored them by giving them the things that were necessary. They didn't sell them to them. They didn't say, "Yeah, you can go down to the store and buy what you need." They gave them a gift. And sometimes supplying a need for someone is a way that we show honor for them. And it's not always a physical need. Sometimes someone may just need a listening ear. Sometimes someone may need a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes someone may just need a hug or a smile. Those are needs. Those are real needs that we have sometimes. And it may not always be something that takes money. Honor is also a cause for rejoicing. 1 Corinthians 12:26 tells us, "Whether one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." Now sometimes when someone is honored, we find ourselves tempted to be jealous instead of honoring them and rejoicing with them that they received that honor. We get jealous instead. And that's not the way we should be as Christians toward one another. But also honoring is not a favoritism. In 1 Corinthians 4:6, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Now, of course, Paul's talking about himself and Apollos as two different preachers. And I know, you know, everyone who's ever heard more than one preacher has a favorite. They rather hear this one than that one. I do. There are some preachers that I think, they present lessons. I could just sit and listen to them all day. There's others I'd rather not hear. Wouldn't drive out of my way to go hear. But that doesn't mean that I honor one as a Christian or as a servant of God more than the other. Or as a child of God, that one somehow, because he has an ability that the other doesn't have, or because maybe one person I know better than another, I don't say, well, they're a better Christian than somebody else that I don't know. We don't get to be puffed up about it, prideful, and showing favoritism. James talks about that. When we show favoritism, we're not doing what God wants us to do. But that doesn't mean that we don't have certain things about another person that we may feel closer to. Jesus himself had within amongst his disciples, he chose 12 to be apostles, didn't he? Well, sure he did. He didn't choose all of them to be apostles, just the 12. And then even amongst those 12, there were times where he took Peter, James, and John to go do some things that the others did not get to go do. Was Jesus being unfair and showing favoritism? No, he simply had some that he had a relationship with that was a little closer than others. We're going to have that in life. We're always going to have some people that we have a closer relationship to than other people. But we cannot show favoritism toward them in the way that the Bible condemns. The second thing that we want to notice is that we are admonished to honor. Sometimes we kind of shy away from honoring. Well, so-and-so, they'll get the big head if we honor them. Well, that may be that somebody might. But that doesn't mean that we don't honor when we should. We are admonished and taught that honor is an important thing. Oddly enough, of those things that we are admonished to honor, the first one we want to notice is weak members. Now see, what we often honor is the strong members. But the Bible tells us we need to give honor to the weaker members. Because they need it more than the stronger ones, perhaps. 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, he talks about the body here, compares the church to a body, Christ's body. And he says, as the body is one body, but many members, all the members are part of that body. And it's the same way, we're one body in Christ. And he goes on to explain that if the foot said, well, I'm not the hand, so I'm not an important part of the body. He said, that's foolish. We may not be able to do something that another person can, but that doesn't make us any less a part of the body. He says, if the ear says, because I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body. You know, that's not going to make it not part of the body. He says, if the whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? Well, you know, we think about that. If everybody was the preacher, well, who'd listen? If everybody listened, who'd preach? If everybody prayed, who'd know what was prayed? If everybody led the singing, well, it'd be 30 or 40 different songs being led. That'd be utter confusion. That doesn't work that way. And so just because we have a different role in the body at different times, that doesn't mean that one person's more important than another. But he goes on to say, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nor again can the hand say to the feet, well, I don't need you. No, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. That's an amazing thing he talks about. He says, you know, even though we may not see, well, that person, they, you know, not important, God sees them as important. And we need to see as God sees, not as man sees. We need to bestow honor on every member of the church, even and especially even the weak members of the body of Christ. Then, we also see that we're admonished to honor parents. Ephesians 6:2, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We're commanded to honor them. We talked about what that meant last time when we covered that verse. We're also admonished to honor exceptional workers. Philippians 2:25-30, he says, I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you heard he had been sick. He was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with gladness. and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." So he says that this fellow who had, he was just about lost his life serving Christ. He says, "You, somebody like that, that serves God like that, you honor that person. Pardon me. You hold that person in reputation," he says. That's another way of saying you give them honor, because they're willing to work for the Lord. And so it is that we encourage people to work for the Lord by honoring them when they do work for the Lord. And we need to do that. We are to honor widows. 1 Timothy 5:3 says, "Honor widows that are widows indeed." And so he said, we need to honor them. And particularly he describes the widow who's a widow indeed. It's not just everybody out there in the world who's lost a husband. He's talking about a widow woman in the church who's a godly woman, who cares about the things of the Lord, who's a helper in the church, who's a good servant for God. That's who's honorable. The woman out there that killed her, the woman out there who killed her husband, she's a widow too, but that's not very honorable. And so Paul explains to Timothy that the honorable widow, the widow who's a widow indeed, is the one who's a godly widow, a woman who is serving God in her widowhood. And then we're also to honor elders. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." So that's not just regular honor. We're supposed to honor all the elders, but he says some of them, boy, if they do well, you give them a double honor, a double dose of honoring. Now, some people say this refers even to paying elders, and I hadn't met a church yet that pays their elders, but some say this is the idea of it, that they would be able to fully devote their time to shepherding the flock and be able to live on that. But we see the idea of honoring the elders, the leaders in the church. We're to honor our employers, our bosses, is the best way to translate for us today what 1 Timothy 6:1 says. "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed." It's a sad thing when you hear people on the job griping about the person who's feeding their family by giving them a paycheck. That's kind of pitiful. That they're sitting around groaning and moaning and moping around complaining and half doing their job and then griping about the paycheck when they get it. Who do they think they are? Here's the person who's providing for the welfare of their family, providing the funds by which their family eats and has a place to live, and they're going to groan and moan and gripe about them. That's not a Christian attitude. The Christian attitude is to give honor to that person that's the master over you, your boss. Give them honor. And he says to count them worthy of all honor. Don't talk bad about them behind their back. We're also commanded and admonished to honor all people and the governing officials. Particularly, he says, the king in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. But since we don't have a king, we just think of that as those who are in authority in the political realm over us. He says, "Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king." And of course, we understand that we as godly people, in order to be honorable people ourselves, have to honor others. "Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you." You want people to treat you with respect and honor when you need it and deserve it? Then you do the same to them. That's the way we treat other people. Now, is everyone always going to return that? No. There are some people who are going to be disrespectful and dishonoring no matter what you do. But that's not what you're to concern yourself with. You're concerning yourself with being obedient to God. Honor all men and honor the king. That's a hard one sometimes for people if we think about maybe a governor, maybe a mayor, maybe a president, maybe a congressman or senator or someone that we don't think is doing a very good job. It's hard for us to honor that person. But we need to remember that God Himself says that the governing authorities are there as His ministers. Now, we understand that they are not all Christians, certainly not New Testament Christians. Even those that claim Christianity many times are not Christians as the Bible teaches it. But we still honor them. Remember that when Peter wrote this to the Christians in the New Testament age, the time that he was writing this was a time when the government was persecuting Christians. And he still said, you honor them. The same king who had James, his friend and co-apostle, beheaded, he said, honor the king. The king who had arrested Peter, had him put in prison and was going to execute him, Peter said, honor him. So I know that you disagree with the policies of various different government officials and the government as a whole sometimes and the policies they have. But as of yet, they haven't beheaded any of us and they haven't even thrown any of us in prison. And yet even when the government did those things, Peter says you honor them. So how much more when they haven't done that to us, do we still honor them? We need to work on that one. It's a tough one. That's probably one of the hardest commands in the Bible, is to honor the king, honor the governing authorities. It's hard to honor them, especially when we disagree with what they're doing and don't think they're doing a good job. But that's been the nature of kingdoms and of men throughout the history of the world. We also see that husbands are supposed to honor wives. 1 Peter 3:7, he says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Romans 13:7 tells us also that we are to admonish, that we're admonished to honor anyone who is due some honor. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor is due. Anyone who has done something worthy of honor, we honor them. Then we want to see that we are to strive to be honorable. Part of being honorable is honoring those we should. It's a very dishonorable thing not to honor those who are deserving of it or who God has commanded us to honor. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21, though, says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. You want to be an honorable vessel that God can use? Then you have to live an honorable life. You have to prepare yourself. You have to get rid of the things in your life that don't belong, the things that aren't honorable. John 5 and verse 44, Jesus says, how can you believe which receive honor of one another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? See, Jesus didn't say it was wrong to seek honor. He only said it was wrong to seek the wrong kind of honor. How much honor do we seek from other people instead of God? It's better to be dishonored among the people and honored by God. And we need to seek the right honor. We need to seek the honor that comes from God only. That only God can give certain honors. Only God can say on the day of judgment, enter in, well done, good and faithful servant. He's the only one that can say that. Romans 2, 6 and 7 says, who will render to every man according to his deed, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he shall give eternal life. But we've got to seek it. You know, sometimes we think, you know, there's a certain level of lack of self-esteem where we say, well, I don't want to try to be honored. That'd be a bad thing. He says, if we seek glory and honor and immortality in God's way, He'll give us eternal life. But we've got to seek it. We've got to seek that honor. The honor that comes from God, not the honor that comes from mankind. And then finally, we want to notice that honor can be misplaced. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 29, God says, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and you honor your sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of the offerings of my people Israel. God condemned Eli because Eli honored his own children above God. We never honor anybody above God if we want to be pleasing to Him. Also there in John 5:44 that we mentioned a moment ago, it talks about seeking the honor that comes from God, but the problem they had was they were seeking honor from each other. They were praising and honoring each other, and the whole time they weren't doing what God said to do and what God wanted them to do. And we see that in our world today as well. Another problem that may result from honor that's misplaced is from Proverbs 27:2. Solomon said, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Sometimes we may honor ourselves, and we may honor ourselves even when that honor is not due. So we need to be sure that we're not puffed up and self-honoring. That's a difficult thing sometimes too. We want to be proud of our accomplishments and proud of the things that we've done. But we have to beware not to get the big head that we talked about earlier. Perhaps you have not honored some of those that you should have. Or perhaps you've misplaced some honor, honored some people above what you should have honored them, above even God. You may need to correct those things in your life. Maybe you've honored yourself instead of allowing others to do that for you. Maybe you haven't sought God's honor. You've sought the honor of men instead. There are many things where we can make mistakes in this area of honor. If you find yourself having done some of those things or any of those things, and you need to come to God and ask Him to forgive you and determine that you're going to do what is right in the future, whatever need you may have, please come as we stand and sing.